You need to know about spiritual gifts if you are, one, a Christian believer. Any Christian believers here present tonight? Thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy was first. Thank you. Two, if you believe that Jesus is your Lord and you want to love him, please him, and follow him in the best way possible. Yes? Some of you are not so sure about that one. Okay. Never ask a question you don't want the answer to. Three, you want your church to be healthy, attractive, growing group of people showing forth God's love in your community. Yes? It's revival. Amazing. We need to know about the spiritual gifts. Paul says, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. The church at Corinth, to which St. Paul was writing, needed a bit of instruction about spiritual giftings. They were getting a bit boastful. They were wanting the spectacular ones, the showy off ones. And Paul wanted them to get some perspective. He wanted the church to be knowledgeable and aware of what the spiritual gifts were and their place of power within the life of the church. And so do we. So thank God, thank goodness somebody thought of a preaching series on this very subject. If you've not had an opportunity to listen to the two sermons that have gone before, last week, as Mike talked about the spiritual gifts of mercy and help and service. Is that what he... Yeah, I suddenly had a moment where I was thinking I've forgotten what he talked about last week. And the week before when Heather introduced our topic. Do please listen online and they'll put everything into context. So there's a couple of things before we get to the two ones we're looking at tonight about pastoring and exhorting. Just some things I'd like to remind you of. Number one is this. Everybody has a spiritual gift. Everybody has a spiritual gift. Everyone who has committed to Jesus has a spiritual gift. The Bible says that every Christian has received a gift. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Now, to each, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. I think if you class yourself as a Christian, born again Christian, God gives gifts. When the Holy Spirit comes into our life on conversion, we get given a gift of the Holy Spirit. Every single one of us. It doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, there is no junior Holy Spirit. God gives his gifts to everybody, the same gifts that the grown-ups get. That are available and usable for us here and now. Women and men, young and old, everybody has a gift. Before Jesus left the earth, he and returned to heaven, he encouraged his disciples to wait to receive power. We know the Pentecost story, but before we get to that, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And then Pentecost happens, and boom, the church begins. The Holy Spirit movement enables the church to grow and to travel around the world. It was the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the believers that made all the difference. Amen? Now, the question I want us to start thinking about today is, do we still believe that is true? Thank you, all three of you. Do we still believe that the Holy Spirit makes a difference in the life of his church and in the life of his people? Good. I'm glad that lots of you are nodding. I've been reading a book about the work of the Holy Spirit this week to prepare me for tonight, and there was a quote in there by George Barna. He does statistics in America. He's a researcher. And apparently, he's been studying Christians and their spiritual gifts over a five-year period. In 1995, it's not up-to-date statistics, he found that 4% of born-again Christians in America did not believe that God had given them a spiritual gift. 4%. Okay? That's not actually a huge amount. So maybe the rest did, which is a good thing. But by the year 2000, when he did the same research again, that number had gone up to 21% of born-again Christians believing that God has not given them a spiritual gift. Now, 20 years on, I wonder what the number would be now, here and now. I wonder what that number would be for us if we were honest with no one looking. What would we say? So I think it's really, really important for us as believers to know what our spiritual gifts are, because that will help you find your place in the ministry of the church, and it helps you determine what your priorities are when you know what your spiritual gift is. Romans says this: we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Do what you are gifted in, says Paul. Make the use of your spiritual gifts a priority in your life. Because when you use something, it grows. The body of Christ grows. You grow, God is glorified. So I'd like to encourage you that if you haven't done a spiritual gift assessment, there's loads available online. Or speak to me, I can find you one, or Kath or Dan, they've both got ones available. We can find one that suits you. I really encourage you to do that. There are age-appropriate ones for the young people, but I believe all the young people have done one already, haven't they? I'd like to encourage you to do that. Find out what your spiritual gift is so you know. Find out about it. Pray about it. Take the opportunity to meet with another Christian you know and trust and see what they say as you pray it through. I might, for example, I'm being facetious, decide that God has given me the gift of administration. And I might meet with my lovely friend, Kath. And Kath, in her ever so gentle way, might say to me, Louise, God has gifted you with many things. Many, many things of which we are appreciative of in the life of the church. You're pastoring, sometimes you're preaching, you're shepherding. We're very, very profoundly grateful. But the Lord has not gifted you with the gift of administration in her gentle way, because we need the truth sometimes from people. I really encourage you, find out what your spiritual gifts are. Pray with someone who you know and trust, and find a place to serve. Just get going. Don't wait for the right opportunity or the perfect timing. Exercise your spiritual muscles and use the gift God gives you. We're looking at a lot of different gifts in this series, lots of different ones. And each of the gifts relates to a function that's the responsibility of every Christian. So we might not feel that we have the spiritual gift of mercy that we talked about last week, but that doesn't stop us from being merciful. We might not believe that we have the anointed gift of being an evangelist. But that doesn't mean you're off the hook of sharing your faith. So, let's not excuse ourselves from the tasks that we're all responsible for as well. So, tonight we're looking at two gifts which basically do what they say on the tin. Pastoring and exhortation. Pastoring. I like that idea of a monk trying to herd some sheep. I think it's a monk, it could be a priest. Pastoring. If I said the word pastor to you, we probably all think of the person that is in charge of a local church. Or apart from this table, who are in the Italian restaurant here, they're thinking of carbonara. You'd be thinking of the person who's in charge of a local church, the minister, the vicar, the reverend, the leader. Yes, that's a role of a pastor. But what is the spiritual gift of pastoring? Well, at its most basic, it's the ability that God gives to certain members of the body of Christ to assume a long-term personal responsibility for the spiritual welfare of a group of believers. You don't need to be at the front to have the spiritual gift of pastoring. You don't need to be ordained or have a title for the spiritual gift of pastoring. The Greek word that is used simply means shepherd or overseer, and it's similar to the words that we use for elder or presbyter or even bishop. They've got round about the same meaning. Later on in our series, we're going to look at the fivefold roles that the Holy Spirit gives of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. But tonight, we're talking about the gift of pastoring, not the person who has the job of pastoring. I'm paid to be the pastor. I hope that also means I have the spiritual gift of pastoring. Not all pastors have the spiritual gift of pastoring. I am not the only person in this room who is called to use the spiritual gift of pastoring. In the biblical context, shepherds have several different responsibilities to their sheep, and ultimately to the owner of the sheep. A shepherd in biblical times would look after the sheep 24/7. They would look out for wolves. They would protect the sheep from attackers. They would care for wounded and sick sheep. They would nurse them back to health. They would rescue the sheep if they got lost or trapped. They'd spend time guiding them to places of nourishment and rest. The result is a trust relationship where the sheep follow the shepherd, where they hear his or her voice to the point there, if they're mixed with another herd, at the call of the shepherd, they could separate and follow him or her. This is the Yorkshire shepherdess. Wanted to get a girly shepherd just to prove a point. There we go. Not many girls shepherds around. It was hard to find a picture. This metaphor of a spiritual shepherd, one who cares for God's flock, is one that we all know is in Scripture, both Old and New Testaments, both there in Jeremiah and in Acts. I won't read those out. And of course, we model the idea of a shepherd looking after the sheep on Jesus being the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, says Jesus. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and run away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. So the idea of a spiritual gift of pastoring is one of caring. It's one of, with God's gifting, drawing alongside people. Have you got this gift? Can you disciple people and nurture people towards spiritual maturity? Do you notice and do something about it when people have gone astray, wandered off like sheep? Do you care? If you do care deeply, then you may have the spiritual gift of pastoring. It's about loving and caring and guiding and feeding the flock that God gives us. And as I say, it's not just people at the front of church that can have the spiritual gift of pastoring. We can pastor and shepherd in all sorts of ways, as fellowship group leaders, as pastoral visitors, as Christian friends who care. We might not always need a shepherd's crook. We have other tools, a cup of coffee and an open ear, conversation, a chair to listen. Do you have the gift of pastoring? So along with the gift of shepherd and pastor comes the spiritual gift of exhortation. Exhortation. Now, it's also known as the gift of encouragement. The Greek word for this means to beseech, to exhort, to call upon, to encourage, and to strengthen. The primary means of exhortation is to remind the hearer of what Jesus has done. We see Paul in Scripture commanding both Titus and Timothy to use this gift. In Titus 2:11 to 15, it says this: "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what's good. These then are the things you should teach. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you." And in 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, "Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction." Do you have the gift of exhortation? Preaching But the Spirit of God gives this gift to people to strengthen those who are wavering in their faith. Those with the gift of exhortation and encouragement are there to motivate people, to challenge them, to hold up a mirror to their lives and say, look at what is going on. Is that where you want to be in the light of God's word, in the light of Christ's faithfulness? Sometimes those with the gift of exhortation are needed to tell someone off. The biblical word is rebuke. To say, look, what are you doing? You're messing around. Sort yourself out. In the name of the Lord. That's why it's often linked to the spiritual roles of pastor and the gift of shepherding. It's about motivating people to spiritual growth, to new life. The goal of the encourager is to see everyone in the church growing, being built up, glorifying God. Is that your spiritual gift? Are you an encourager? Have you got the gift of exhortation? Are you perceptive to the needs of others? Do you come alongside people when they're discouraged and when they're hurting to comfort them and strengthen them with words of hope? Do you love to point people towards God and his promises? Are you particularly motivated to see people grow in faith? Are you the sort of person that people come to seek spiritual support? I'm the sort of person that sees everything, even a bump in the road, as something that God can use for his glory and our growth. If you're that sort of person, you could be an exhorter. Because people with a spiritual gift of exhortation love to encourage, 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 always using God's word as their basis. Could you grow in the spiritual gift of exhortation to build up God's church for his glory? We're told twice to eagerly desire spiritual things in 1 Corinthians. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. So that's the question I want to ask you tonight. Are we a people, are you a person who is eagerly desiring of God? Eagerly desiring spiritual gifts that build us up, that build the church up, that give God glory. Because Jesus says, ask and it shall be given to you. We're talking about the God who is a generous giver. And those of us who've been Christians for a long time know that God is a generous giver. He gives gifts to show us how much that he loves us. I love giving gifts. It's one of my love languages. If you buy me something black and white, polka dot and spotty, because you've seen that's all I wear and you know I like it, I will be forever putty in your hands. God is a giver of good gifts, always. And when we talk about spiritual gifts, it's like he thinks about, right, we've got Dan Satch, he's a bit loud, he's very enthusiastic, he's passionate. What would be the best Dan Satch-shaped spiritual gift that would work with him? Because God doesn't fit us into boxes where we cannot work from. Because he's a good gift giver. His gifts are not sent to the charity shop after our birthdays. It's not soap on a rope. Never buy me soap on a rope. It's the best gift that is handpicked for each one of us. And the best gift, obviously, is Jesus. The one who deals with our sin because we cannot do it ourselves. Free for all of us. We get to be given gifts because God loves to give them. Free salvation. Free to us, not free to Jesus, but at high price. Gifts of the Holy Spirit. Not weird and wonderful, just wonderful. And God wants to give us what will grow us, will grow the church, and will utterly delight him. So the question I want to ask you tonight is, do you want to receive whatever God has handpicked and gift wrapped for you? If you want a gift of the Holy Spirit, then we're going to make space for you to ask tonight. We're going to have communion in a moment where we remember symbolically just how much God has given to us. We remember bread broken and wine poured. Both things symbolic of what Jesus went through on the cross, where his body was broken, literally broken, so that our sins can be forgiven. Where his blood was spilt so that we would know how far the love of God goes. In a few moments, we are going to share bread and wine. And we are reminded of what happened. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he sat at table and he broke bread. And he shared it with his friends and said, take and eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this and remember me. It is for you. And he shared wine with his friends and gave thanks to God and said, remember me as you drink. It's my life poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink and remember me. We have a chance to stop and to say thank you and remember of the covenant of grace that brings us here, of the cost of the love. I invite you to come and share. The band are going to sing, O Come to the Altar. The bread is gluten-free and the wine is non-alcoholic, and all who love Jesus are welcomed here at this table. But there's more. We've been talking about God being a giver of good gifts. Maybe tonight's the opportunity to ask God for a gift. And come and receive communion. But when you've done that, maybe you would like, either with a trusted friend or with one of the ministry team who will be around where you can see them, to actually ask for a spiritual gift. They would be delighted to pray with you tonight, to receive something of God for you. Eagerly desire the spiritual gifts, says Paul. Let's pray. Loving God, thank you for the gifts of your Holy Spirit. And thank you that you are a good God who is generous and wants to share his gifts. Jesus, thank you for your example. Thank you that you ministered in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we can do too. That you want and you choose to use us. That you know us so well, that you know which gifts will fit each person. Holy Spirit, would you show us the ones you want us to grow in, the ones you want to give us tonight, so that we can honor and glorify you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and be with your church as we grow together, as we share the story of your sacrifice together. Breathe your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us the life of Christ, and that we may make that life visible through our witness and our working alongside you. Come, Holy Spirit, and be with your people tonight. And come, eat and drink, and remember.